Okay, so we saw the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah says that this person is now being taken out for skila. And the Gemara says there has to be an announcement. The Mishnah said that there has to be an announcement that this person is about to be taken out for skila. If anybody knows any information that could possibly be mezakeh him, get him off the hook, then please announce it now. So the Gemara added, it's not enough just to say that. You have to announce the details. They should say quite clearly that this person has been taken out. He did an aveira on a certain place on a particular time. And that way, there is a chance that the edim can be proven zoimamin. Remember, if you don't announce the time and location, then nobody can be mazim the edim. Now, we're on the very last line of the Gemara. There's a very strange piece of the Gemara that seems to just to stop in the middle of a sentence. In some Gemaras, they have some small letterings. Is that what they have in yours? A number of lines which seem to be not the main text. The Gemara asks, Lefonov. The Mishnah says, Akruz Yotze Lefonov, the announcement went out in front of him. So the Gemara asks, Lefonov en Mei Kora Loi. Very, very unclear what that means. Rashi translates Lefonov en demashma bahalichosay as he's going mi kara loy arba'im yoim kodem 40 days beforehand. Not very unclear. What is that referring to? What do you mean 40 days? How can they have an announcement 40 days before the event? Totally unclear. If you look in your Gemaras, my guess is that Rabbi Artscroll point out, Rabbi Yosef, am I correct that this is a somehow missing piece of Gemara? Is that what they say?
Yes, it does indeed.
What are they
That
saying?
there's more to be found. The Vilna edition of the Talmud is missing the text that follows this question. For a full rendition of the missing text, see Chesronos Hashas.
Right, that's what you mentioned yesterday in your email to me, correct?
Yeah,
Right.
yeah.
Okay. So we're going to move on straight away because it's not our text. So we turn over the Omer, the Mem Gimel Omer base. Omer of Yeshua ben Levi. This is Agadaic. And we're going to see there's quite a bit of Agoda coming up. Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, when we learn Agoda, then we go quicker than normal. Not Chas v'Shalom, the Agoda is less important than the Halachic sugyas, but we do it quicker. Quicker. Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Choivo. Kol HaZeveach, excuse me. Kol HaZeveach Es Yitzroi. If we literally translate, anybody who sacrifices, who shechts his Yetzer Hara, obviously that means he gets the better of him. Umisvade olav. And not only that, he then does vidui, having done averas, he's chozer b'tshuva, and he's misvade, which means he does vidui and tshuva. Male olav akosav. The pasuk considers ki'ilu kibdoi l'hakadosh baruch hu, as if he has honored HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shnei oylamim, in two worlds, oylam hazeh v'ha'oylam haba. Where do you see that? Because it says, Zeveach toido yechabdonani. So Zeveach is referring to shechting the Yetzer Hara. Toido over here is being translated not as thanks, but rather as toido miloshen vidui. Yechabdonani with a double nun. You have been mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a double nun, Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. Says Rashi, top Rashi, Zoveach es Yitzroi la'achar shehisisoi lachtoihu. After the Yetzer Hara got the better of him and managed to pull him down and get him to sin, Zoivchoi v'horgoi. He managed to slaughter him, as it were, and kill him, in other words, to banish the Yetzer Hara. V'shov b'tshuva, is now chozer b'tshuva, umisvade olov. Shnei nunin, those two nunin in the word yechabdonani, dorish l'shnei kibudim. The drasha is yom mechaber HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice because it has those two nuns. Says the Gemara, v'omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This is another statement now in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. As we know, the Gemara very often does this. It mentions a statement in the name of one Amoira, or Tana, so it'll mention another statement, albeit unrelated, but also in his name. V'omer b'shua ben Levi, b'zman she-beis ha-mikdosh kayom, when the beis ha-mikdosh was kayom, odom makriv Oilo, if a person was ever makriv a korban, oilo, schar, oilo, beyodoi. So if you're makriv one korban, then presumably you have the schar of that korban in your hand. And if it's a mincha, then schar mincha beyodoi. So whichever korban you did, you get the schar for being makriv that particular korban. However, avol mi shedaitoi, if, however, somebody is not literally makriv a korban, but he's daitoi shfeilo, of lowly spirit, means he's modest, he's humble, then male olav hakosov ki'ilu hikriv kol hakorbonois kulam. Kol hakorbonois kulam. This is a gewaltige zach, a tremendous chiddush. Male olav hakosov ki'ilu hikriv kol hakorbonois kulam. The person is makriv one korban. So it's schar oila b'yodei or schar mincha b'yodei. But you don't get the schar for being makriv several korbanos because you're only makriv one. But if somebody is of lowly spirit, meaning he's humble and he's modest in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he gets the schar as if he's being makriv all of the korbanos. Why? Shenema, because we have a pasuk that says in Tehillim, Zivchei Elohim, Zivchei. It doesn't say Zevach in the singular. Zivchei, the sacrifices of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruach Nishbara, of the broken spirited, meaning a person who is humble and modest. V'loy oid, another schar he gets is that Asher ein tfilosoi nim eses. His tfilah will not be repulsed, will not be rejected. Shenema leiv nishbar, v'nidkev, a person has a broken heart, meaning not that he's sad, he's modest and humble. Then Elohim lo itivze, then HaKadosh Baruch will not be mevaze his tefillah. Says Rashi, Zivchei Elohim loshoin rabim mashma. The implication is loshoin rabim, because after all, it doesn't say zevach in the singular, it says zivchei in the plural. Lo isavaze ein darkecho, it's not the way of HaKadosh Baruch will not reject the tefillah of somebody who is modest and humble. Okay, we move now swiftly on, says the Mishnah. Yeah, Reb Larry.
Just a quick hashkafa question, if I might. So this lowly spirit thing, a person wants to feel good about himself. He wants to feel that he's working, he's doing well. He's even if it's an avodas Hashem, he's doing well. So on the one hand, you're supposed to understand that all that you have comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But this lowly spirit thing, it's like, how do you be mesameach in your avodas Hashem and feel good
Lowly
about
spirit.
who you are?
Right, lowly spirit doesn't mean walking around dejected and depressed. It means modest. Here, the understanding is modest and humble. The traditional understanding is that if somebody's lowly, meaning feeling downhearted and downtrodden, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has extra rachmonos of him. But here, the Gemara is not saying that. Here, the Gemara seems to be saying that if he's modest and humble, modest and humble. Okay, let's immediately begin the next Mishnah. This is not difficult Gemara, so we'll try and move on quickly. Hoyo rochoik mi beis haskila ke'eser amos. So now we're getting, unfortunately, to the dramatic moments. We've tried everything we can to try and get him off the hook with the banners and the horses and the Talmidim, and everybody's tried to melamed zechus. It's just not happening. So we're marching him off now to the beis haskila. And it looks like this is now the end. So when we get Rochoik mi beis haskila ke'eser amos, when they take him, remember, out of the three machanes, when they now take him and they reach 10 amos away, 10 amos away, Oimrim loy, so they say to him, okay, the time has come, hisvade, you've got to now confess, you've got to now be mekayim the mitzvah of vidui. They can't wait till the very last moment, but 10 amos away, when there's not much time, they say now it's the time to be mitzvah. Why? Shekein derech. This is the way of kol hamumsin. All of those who are put to death by bezdin, mitzvahdin, they have to be mekayim the mitzvah of vidui. Mekayim the mitzvah of vidui. She kol ha-misvade, because if a person indeed is misvade, yeishloi chelek la'olam haba, he can claim his chelek in Olam Haba. How do I know that? Shekein motzinu ba'ochon. Because this is what we have found with regard to Ochon. Now, I think we would do well to revise the story of Ochon, because we're going to discuss this quite in detail in the Gemara. Ochon, as we know, lived at the time of Yeshua. Some say he composed the second part of Aleinu L'Shabeach, Al Kein Nekaveh. Those first three words, Al Kein Nekaveh, Rosh Hashanah, Ochon. So what happened was, Klal Yisrael went to war, and surprisingly and tragically, they lost the battle, and many soldiers were killed, which had never happened until that place, until that point. To the contrary, all of the battles had been victorious and successful. So something obviously went terribly wrong. They did a goyrel, as the Gemara will discuss later on, and Ochon's name came up in the lottery, in the goyrel, and it turned out that Ochon had misappropriated something from Hektish. So because he had taken something from Hektish, that's why this terrible punishment befell Klal Yisrael, and he had to now recite Vidui. This is what we're quoting. So says the Mishnah, Shekein Motzinu Ba'ochon. This is exactly what we have found regarding Ochon. She'omar lo Yeshua, because Yeshua said to him, Bani, my son, Sim no kovoy l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Give now your final honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'tein loy toido. Again, toido doesn't mean thanking. It means, in this case, admitting. By the way, it's not a play on words. What does the word moida mean in the Jewish language? So we know that moida has two connotations. Either like in moidim, like we all used to say in Ivrit, ani modelecha, I thank. But we also know that moida can mean something else. What else does moida mean? It can mean to confess or to admit. A moida b'miktzas. Now, we have a rule in the Hebrew language that has no exception whatsoever. So we like rules with no exceptions. This is one of them. There cannot be one word that means two things. There's no solitary word that has two meanings. So if we have the word moida that means to thank and also to admit, then we need to explain that, because it would seem to be that, in fact, we do have one word with a double connotation. So there is a very famous explanation in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok Huttner, Zeichet Tzadik Livrocha, and he explained, and this is very, very critical, that in fact, these two connotations are really based on one concept. Whenever I thank you for something, what indeed I'm recognizing is it's an admission that I was lacking something and I needed you to fill in the hole. I needed you to be mashlim that chisaron. So when I say to you, thank you for giving me that loan, what in fact am I doing? It's first a recognition, an admission that I was lacking, and that the only one who could help me was you. Part two is, I thank you indeed for doing so, but it all comes from the same sheirish. Therefore, why is this so important to understand? Because it's nogea to every single tefillah in our lives. In the bracha of moedim, did you ever notice that you start off saying, moedim anachnu lach, sh'ato Hashem alakeinu v'kei avaseinu lach, etc., etc., and then, Noida lecho nesaper tilosecha. Why are you saying noida again? You just said moidim in the beginning. And the answer is, if you look very carefully, these are exactly these two connotations. Firstly, moidim anachnu loch, I'm not thanking for, I'm admitting that. You say moidim anachnu loch she. She means that. I'm not thanking for, I'm admitting to, or be acknowledging that what? Sha'atuhu Hashem lekeinu v'lekei aviseinu lo'ilom v'ed sur chayeinu mogin yishenu. It's an admission, it's a recognition, it's an acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the great koyach in shomayim. Having done that, now I can say, noide lecho nesaper telosecho al, not she, al, for the fact, chayeinu amsurim yodecho v'al nishmoseinu, etc., etc., etc. So this is a very, very important point. Now, by the way, who would we say is the first person in the Torah who publicly admitted? Obviously, you could say it's Yehuda, who said, Tzad Kamimeni. It's no coincidence that, of course, Yehuda's name is Yehuda to thank, because admission and thanking, as we've just explained, is all from one Sheirish. Every thanks is essentially based on admission. I first admit or acknowledge your superior koyach or the fact that you were in the right, and then and only then can I proceed to thank you for doing so.
Maybe
So
for
this
that
is the
matter, we
point.
could actually say it was Leah.
Leah thanked exactly because Leah, when she called her son Yehuda, so if you look at Rashi explains why did she call her son Yehuda to thank her? She could have thanked for the first child as well. Or the second, or the third. Why only the fourth? So Rashi says, the very famous Rashi, which by the way is indeed this week's parasha. Rashi says, "Shenotalti yosa michelki." I've taken more than my portion, because the Imahos knew that there's going to be 12 sons, so surely the division should be three for each one. When she had her fourth, that was an admission that I've got more than my chelek, and that's what she was thanking for. So this is a very, very important yesod, accredited to Rav Hutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. There's many Makoris. If I'm not mistaken, I said this at my engagement 25 and a half years ago, which was just before Pesach. It was Parashas Tzav, and Parashas Tzav is, of course, the Parasha of Korban Toida. So that was the appropriate Parasha to mention this Thanksgiving. Okay.
Rabbi, would it be fair to say that because we are Yehudim, that
Correct.
our nate that it is our at our nature to admit that Hashem gives us everything and therefore we're
Absolutely.
grateful?
Absolutely. It's our nation to admit, it's our nature to acknowledge and admit and also to thanks. It's well known, by the way, in every language, they have several words that denote something that's central to that culture. I was told, I'm not an expert in Arctic Circle languages, but apparently Eskimos have about 20 different words for snow. So for us, snow is not central to our culture, so snow is snow. But if it's central to your culture, then you have to have a word that denotes light snow and thick snow and heavy snow and different shaped snow. I was told that in Italian they have about 20 different words for pizza. So if pizza is central into your culture, then you have to have different words. As far as we're concerned, pizza is just good old pizza. I used to have somebody in this morning shiur. Maybe some of you know him from Ramah Aleph. His name is Shmuel Eliwot, who used to be part of our Gemara shiur, and he once informed me of the word Biali bagel. And he was absolutely horrified that I'd never heard of the word. You know what a Biali is? I said, no. He said to me, well, what bagel do you normally have? I said, I don't know. Every 4 years, if I have a bagel, I don't know, a round one or something. I don't know. But it's not so central to my culture.
Believe me, if you lived, if you tasted the New York bagels, it would become central to your culture.
Well, he said the same with regard to Bialy's and Lower East Side pickles, he told me. He said, if you've never tasted a Lower East Side pickle, then you've never lived. So he shipped over a Bialy bagel from America, put it in the freezer, and eventually gave it to me. I tasted it, and I must be honest, I think I have lived. So it wasn't such a magnificent experience. But I'll call upon him, Lahavdil Elef Havdolis, Lahavdil Elef Havdolis. When we say in davening, we say Lahoidois, Lashabeach, Lefoer, Leroymeim, Leyoitzre, Leale, Lekales. Why do you have to have so many words? Basically, we thank. There it is, like Larry said, because we are Yehudim. It's not just something we do, that's something we are. It's absolutely central to our culture, that constant acknowledgement and thanking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we need several words to express every different type. Le'ale, etc. Because that's so central to our culture. So, whatever's central to our culture, you need several words to explain every little slight different nuance. Okay.
Rebbe, you know, Lahavdil, if you look at the name Moav, it was made of, then their name is the makor of where they're from.
Knows exactly what they are, 100%.
Edom, because Esau.
Right. I'll cop on him. So when we say back in our Mishnah, v'tein loy, so at first glance, we would think that toido means thanks, but here it means vidui, admission. But as we just explained, those two concepts are very closely related. Okay. So either way, this was the principle that before Ochon was killed, he needed to first admit, confess, vidui, and that therefore becomes a general rule. Before anybody is put to death by Bezdin, he first has to say vidui. Says the Mishnah, Vayaan Ochon es Yeshua. So Ochon responded to Yeshua. Yeshua has just now initiated, suggested to him he should say vidui. So how indeed did he respond? Vayan Ochan es Yeshua Vayomer, and he says, Amono onoichi chotosi ukazois ukazois. So he said, indeed, I've sinned, and what I've done is ukazois ukazois. We'll see in the Gemara explains exactly what that means. But he said vidui. Uminayin shekiper loy viduyov. So how do we know that that vidui brought about a kapara? So it's true, we've certainly brought a pasuk that says quite clearly that before he was put to death, he needed to first say vidui, which indeed he did. But how do we know that that vidui brought about a kapara? Says the Mishnah, Shenema vayomer Yehoshua. And Yeshua said to him, Ma achartonu, why have you, as it were, dirtied or sullied us? You performed this sin, and you brought a terrible stain to Klal Yisrael. Gave him rebuke. Ya'acherecho Hashem, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, as it were, have to plant a stain on you, meaning punish you. Bayoim hazeh, on this day. Now, why did Yeshua emphasize on this day? What does that mean? Why was he emphasizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, as it were, plant a stain on you on this day? So the implication is as follows: Bayoim hazeh ato'ochur. Indeed, on this day you are stained. You're considered very to be criticized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ve'i ato'ochur lo'olam habo. But you are not carrying your stain in Olam HaBa. Why is that? Because you've done vidui. So you see that clearly he was only considered to be blemished or stained by Yoyim HaZeh at the moment, at the time. But afterwards in Olam HaBa, they're not. So this is the proof to what the Mishnah was looking for, that it's only temporary. And once a person does vidui, then indeed he is forgiven. So this now becomes the source, as mentioned, for this principle that somebody has to be killed by Beis Din. Tragically, then he first has to do vidui, he has to be misvadeh. Says the Mishnah, Ve'im eino yoideya lehisvadois. What means he doesn't know? He doesn't know the halachas, he doesn't know how exactly you say vidui. Is oimrim loy. So then we say to him, if he's not able to utter a confession, a vidui on his own volition, he doesn't know the halachas, so we'll train him, we'll tell him what to say. And we say to him, Emor, you must say the following, Tehei misosi kapora al kol avoinoisai. May my death be an atonement for all my averus. That's what they train him to say. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Now, this is a very important yisaid. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. If the accused and the person who's about to be killed, if he happens to know Shehu Mezumam, what does that mean, Mezumam? He knows the truth. He knows that the Edim who have testified against him are in fact Zomamin. And he knows that this is absolutely injustice. But unfortunately, no other Edom have come to prove his innocence. No mazimin have come, but he knows the truth. He knows that absolutely he's innocent. These two Edim who have accused him of being Mechalal Shabbos in Bet Shemesh on Parshas Toldos happen to be that very Shabbos in United States of America, and he knows the truth. Now, it's true. Beis Din obviously have to kill him because we've interrogated the Edus and we have not found any flaw in the Edus, so failure to find the Zechus, he has to be killed. But he knows the truth. So what is he supposed to do now with regard to his vidui? He's supposed to say that my death should be a kapara for all my sins, but he didn't sin. At least not with regard to this sin, and he knows the truth. Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, im hoyo yodea shehu mezumam, if he knows the truth, that this is a case of zoymimin. But tragically, they have not been caught. But he knows the truth. So then, Oimer, he should say, Tehei misasi kapara, may my death be indeed an atonement. I'll call avoinoisai for all my sins, chutz me avoinze, besides for this one. This one, I absolutely claim innocence, and I'm not prepared to be put to death and be considered publicly guilty of this Avera when I happen to know the truth. Look at Rashi. Kazois v'kazois osisi, that was Ochon's lengthy vidui. Why did he have to say kazois v'kazois? But Gemara mefarish shemo'al. He had actually been over the Avera of Me'ila, b'charomim acherim, with regard to other deeds. That's why he had to do multiple confessions. We'll see that in the Gemara. Shehu mezumon, shehu edim shkarim. He knows that the edim are liars. The bezdim don't know, the dayanim don't know, nobody knows, but he knows the truth. U'b'machshav tom hara, and it is with their evil planning and thoughts, haraguhu, that he's now going to end up being killed. Says Rabbi Yehuda, well, if that's the truth, he has every right to publicly declare his innocence. How so? By saying that may my death be a kapara, yes, indeed, for all my averas, but not this one, because this one I'm not guilty of. Says the Gemara, look back in the Mishnah, Omruloi, they said to him, no, we cannot allow that. Because Imkain, if you allow him to add this extra stipulation, that yes, it should be a kapara for all my averas, but not this one, then you call Adam Oimer Cain. Then maybe every person's going to say that, kedei lenakos atzmo, in order to cleanse himself of any public shame. It's true, a person has been over an averas, but nobody else knows about it. But this avera for which he's now going to be killed, everybody's going to know about it. So if you allow the accused, the one who's about to be killed, if you allow him to add these extra words, that I'm not guilty of this sin, then every person who's put to death by Beis Din is going to add those words, whether he's innocent or guilty. And that'll be a terrible bizoyan to Beis Din. Look at Rashi. You call Adam, every person, af hachoitim, even the ones who really indeed are sinners, you, Oimrim Cain, they're now going to be tempted to say the same thing. Lenakois es atzmon, to cleanse themselves, min habriois, from other human beings. At least they should look good. And what's the problem with that? The yoitzi laz, and this will now cast aspersion, al ho'edim, v'hadayonim. So I'm sorry, we cannot allow this. This, by the way, is an unbelievable principle. You see how the Yetzer Hara attacks a person until the last moment of his life. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about somebody who is a sinner. So what are we concerned about? He really is a sinner, and he's about to be put to death justly, and we're still concerned he's going to lie. That's going to be his last act on this planet. He's going to lie. What is he going to lie? He's going to say, yes, may this Misa be a kapara for all my sins, but not this one. At least I'm going to be put to death with everybody thinking that this has been a case of mistaken identity of non-justice. Unbelievable Mishnah. You see the koyach of the Yetzirah. We're concerned that the Yetzirah is literally going to be with him until the very last moment of his life. And that, in fact, will be the last deed of his life, to absolutely lie through his teeth, just that people should think he's innocent. So Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, or the Mishnah said, therefore, to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore we can never allow him to make that addition. So all he has to say is, may this Misa be a kapara for all my sins. Which sins does that refer to? Whatever sins it refers to. But to start stipulating that it does not refer to this particular one, it's too risky. It's going to start casting aspersions on the Bezdin and Dayonim, the Edim. We cannot allow that.
Rabbi, yeah. If it doesn't seem feasible that, let's say, Edim Zonim are lying, and he knows they're lying, but they weren't caught. So there comes a point, and Bezdin says, finally, no, we don't believe you. We believe the Edim. But they're lying. They're lying. I know the truth. I know that they're lying, right? It doesn't seem feasible in my mind that I'd have to come eventually to the point and say, look, I don't know why, but Hashem has decided I'm going to be killed right now.
Yeah.
Because otherwise this couldn't happen. It's not feasible that a lying aid could put me to death beyond Hashem's will.
100%.
So if for whatever reason Hashem decided, even though I'm innocent in this particular thing, it's my time to go, then obviously it's for the other sins that I've committed in my life that I got away with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Am I wrong about that? I mean,
100% right. If a person's put to death, he's put to death, and he deserves it, maybe for not for this sin. So this was a misjustice, but clearly this was the Ratzon Hashem that it should happen, 100%. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow, Tuesday morning, we'll start the Gemara. Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach. Okay, have a wonderful day and a good Chodesh to everybody.